Today's daf is Mi'ila daf Gimel. We left off on daf Beis Amid Beis, but we're right in the middle of the conversation. The Gemara had quoted the statement of Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan held that if you have kachim shemesu, yatsu midei mi'ila dvar Torah, that when kachim die, if a kachim, an animal of kachim just drops dead, so it loses its status of mi'ila, at least on a da'oraisa level, but the assumption is, it would still be subject to mi'ila midrabanan. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second, isn't that exactly our Mishnah, that there's that kachim shemesu have mi'ila midrabanan? Now, our Mishnah didn't exactly discuss kachim shemesu, but it discussed kachim that are supposed to be shechted b'tzafon, and our shechted bedarim, which for all intents and purposes are ki'ilu their mesu because they weren't shechted in the proper place. So doesn't our Mishnah, and we're assuming the understanding of our Mishnah, that the mi'ila that we speak of is mi'ila midrabanan. So Ula is not teaching me, Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan is not teaching me anything new that I didn't already know in our Mishnah, that kachim shemesu is subject to mi'ila midrabanan. So says the Gemara that we saw yesterday, now even though we have it in our Mishnah, there's still an addition chiddush of Ula, because I might have thought hacha lo bedili minhun aval bekachim shemesu ho bedili minhun ema afilu mi'il midrabanan lo kachim shemesu, the animal's in a vela, so people are anyway staying away from it. So I might have thought that obviously in neither case is there mi'il midaraisa, because nothing happened to it properly. It didn't have the proper shechita the way it was supposed to. So in neither case is there going to be mi'il midaraisa. But I would have thought in the case of the Mishnah, where it had a proper maisa shchita, it was just in the wrong spot, that's where the Rabbanan are going to be misake, are going to be gozer, that there should be mi'ila midrabanan. But in a case where anyway, everyone's going to stay away from it because it is nevela, so why would there even be a need to be gozer mi'ila midrabanan? People are going to be badal minei anyhow. People are going to stay away from it anyhow. So Rashi or the Mefarish writes that people are nivdal from kachim shemesu because it's nevela and it's meusa. It's disgusting on account of it being nevela. Sfasemus just wonders, nevela is not, nevela is maus to eat. Nevela is mutter ba'na, though. You're allowed to put nevela lefnei kalbo, you're allowed to put nevela in front of your dog or get any other sort of hana from nevela. So why would we assume that people are nivdal from kachim shemesu because it's a nevela? People don't necessarily stay away from nevela. They stay away from eating nevela, hopefully. But they don't stay away from nevela. So the Sfasema says maybe it means something different. Maybe people stay away from kachim shemesu because they're not anyway mixed in with other kachim that's around the azara. So by kachim shemesu, it doesn't make so much sense to be gozer and isur mi'ila on them because they're not part of the chevra of animals that are all kachim, that are all in the azara. But by other psulim that do get mixed in with other kachim ksherim that are shechted in the azara, and therefore it is shaykh to be gozer mi'ila because they're much more part of the rest of the animals that are hanging around the Azara that are all kachim ksherim, so one is much more likely to confuse them for regular kachim, and that's why maybe it would be more subject to mi'ila. But anyway, whatever the explanation is, whether it's like Rashi, just on account of it being nevela, people are badul minei, or whether it's on account of the fact that it's just not together with all the other kachim, that it's considered badul minei, and for whichever explanation you want to go with, we do see that Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan is adding an additional chiddush that we didn't see from the Mishnah, that kachim shemesu is more than just kachim that are shechted in the wrong spot. So good, so that's an additional chiddush that he's adding beyond what we said in the Mishnah. But says the Gemara, no, even that we would learn from another Mishnah. It's still not so pashut that Ula's adding anything. Mesu namitanina, three lines from the bottom of Beis Amid Beis. In the case of kachim shemesu, we already learned that as well, because we learned as follows. Hanena minachatas kshichaya loma alat sheivkam. A little bit of background over here is important. This is the mission later on Daf Yudches. But the previous part of the Mishnah distinguishes between two different types of items. Some items, when you get hana from them, you use them up and you devalue them. Other items, when you get hana from them, you're not devaluing them at all. They're going to stay the same way they are. The classic example, a gold cup. If you use a gold cup, so you used it, but you didn't devalue it, it's still a perfectly good gold cup after you use it. But other items, the more that you use it, the more that you devalue it. When you wear clothing, the more that you wear it, the more it gets worn out. So items that get devalued, so there's a chilik in halacha between those two types of items. Items that get devalued through usage, you only violate me'ila when you used it in a way that you devalued it. Whereas items that don't get devalued through usage, you violate me'ila even if you didn't devalue the item. So if you're going to have, let's say, kachim that has kedushas damim, so it has monetary value, so that's something that gets devalued, that the monetary value makes a difference, meaning if you take off some of the wool, so that takes away some of the value, and that makes a difference in the long run. But if you have something that's kedushas mizbeach anyway, that the whole thing's going to be burned on the mizbeach, so it doesn't really make a difference how fat it is or how much wool it has when the whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach anyhow. So that's considered like something that's not devalued through the usage. So says the Mishnah. Now in that context, hanena min achatos kshichaya loma alat shivkom. If a person gets hana from a chatos while it's alive, he didn't violate meila until he was pogamin, unless you actually devalued it in some way. Ukshi mesa kivin denena kol shu maal. But once it's dead, as soon as you get any sort of hana from it, it's already a violation of Me'ila. But bottom line, already right there we have our question. What did we want to say is the whole Chiddush of Ulam Rabbi Yochanan, that even a Chatas Shemesa is subject to Me'ila Midrabanan. I would have thought there's no Me'ila at all by it. That the fact that there is Me'ila Midrabanan is the Chiddush. We already see over here that Shemesa, you have a dead Chatas, and when you get any sort of hana, it's ma'al. You violated mi'ila. Granted, mi'ila midrabanan, but that's the point that we see over here already in the Mishnah, that there's mi'ila midrabanan on a chatas mesa. If you look at the Mefarish over here, he gives all the context and the elaboration on this kasha. K'shi chayam lo ma'al ad shi'ifkom. Ad she yechsar mimenu, until you've taken something from it. Kivan de kedushas damim hi lomal ad she yechsar midameha. Since it has kedushas damim, it's only a violation of meila if you've detracted in some way from its value. Kigon shetolash minatzemer o shecharish bavichisha. You took some wool off of it. You worked it. You plowed with it, and therefore weakened it. De kivan de balas mum hi. Because if it is a kachim that's alive, that's a balmum, it's destined to be sold for its value. So anything that's destined to be sold for its value, you only violate mi'ila if you've in some way impinged upon its value, if you've in some way affected its value. But something that's not omid l'damim, like for instance a golden cup of hegdish, you violate mi'ila even if you don't devalue it in any way, just as long as you get hana from it. Ukshi mesa, so therefore that's why we ask about the chatas. When it is a mesa, when it dies, the lavla dami kaima, where it's not omade to be sold for its money. Because you're not allowed to be poda kachim to just feed it to the dogs. So kivan shenen b'shava pruta mal afal pi shaloch isro. So you get hana of b'shava pruta from it. You violate mila even if you didn't devalue it in any way. V'hai ma'al midrabanan hu, and this mi'ila that we're speaking of must be a mi'ila d'rabanan. D'liachar shemesa divrei akol ein b'mi'ila midaraisa. How do we know it's only talking about mi'ila midrabanan? Because it's dead. And a chatas hamesa, everyone would agree, would not be subject to mi'ila midaraisa. Ela mai ma'al. So what does ma'al obviously mean over here? Midrabanan. V'hachu b'chatas mesa d'ma'al d'chamura kedushasa d'l'kapara asya. Avol b'shar kachim gon ol. So this is the kasha anula, that over here by the chatas hamesa, the rabbanon are going to be gozer that there is mi'ila, because the chatas hamesa is destined for, or was destined for kapara, was originally there for kapara, by other kachim, na'ola and asham, shalmei tzibur, since they're not for kapara anyway, so once they die, there's not even going to be a mi'ila midrabanon. But the bottom line is, we see already from a Mishnah, that there is mi'ila midrabanon on a chatas hamesa. So what's Ulam Rabbi Yochanan teaching me? Says, no, salka, daitachamina katos hol kapara kaasya. So there's a significant girsa issue over here. Let's go with the girsa of the Shita Mukbetzas and also Aleph. Shita Mukbetzas says that that chatos balas mum hol v'lo chazil the kapara lo bedilin mina. Since it's not ra'ui to be used for kapara, people are not going to be badal minay. People are not going to be reverent of it. Aval kachim tamimim hol v'chazin the kapara ubedilin minhun emalo. But when it comes to kachim tamimim, which are ra'ui le kapara, so since people treat it with a certain reverence, so I would think not that there was no need to be gozer mi'ila on it, because anyway people are going to stay away from it. So kamash malan. That's the additional chiddush of ula that we didn't get from the Mishnah. If you look at the Mefarish in the last, in the fourth line on the page over here, Amulcha Ula, who had in the Bekal Kache Kachem Sri Lele Tananami Demal. The question assumed that the Tana identified Chatas HaMesa, and where we have Mila Midrabanan versus all other Kachim. So Ula's response, the way the Mefarish understands it, is that no, really by all other Kachi Kachim, the same thing would be true. The Tana holds that there is Mila Midrabanan. Umayshna Denakat Bechatas Tfei Mishar Kachi Kachim. Why would a Dafka single out Chatas above all other Kachi Kachim? The Salka Daitachamina Hol Kapara Asya Dikshichaya Kaimal Chatas, since it's meant for or kaparo ubedilin mina vashenamik shi mesa bedilin mina v'lo yisrach l'migzor b'me'ila. I would think a chatas people would stay away from even after it dies, and therefore there's no need to be gozer me'ila. Kamash melantana dema'al v'kolshken b'hanach d'lav l'kapara asu. And therefore the Tana teaches us that even by the chatas, not only by the chatas, even by the chatas, it's subject to me'ila. Certainly all the other kachi kachim vispu me'ila holu mechayim lo bedilin minayu inshi. Since people don't stay away from it, even when it's alive, so therefore it's even the chatas that's subject to me'ila. But either way, that's the extra chiddush of Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan. That the chiddush is that one might have thought that this is the way the Shita understood it, that one might have thought that dafka by the chatas there goes there such a me'ila, since the dafka by the chatas that's a bal mum that was pasul, it would be gozer mi'ila, because since it was omid the kapara, so kamash malan comes teach us that no, even by where you shechted in the wrong place, by kachim shemesu, it would still be gozer mi'ila mi'drabanan. Fine, says the Gemara Vayter, v'chatas shemesa mi'yuspa mi'ila. Wait a second, is this really true that by a chatas shemesa it is subject to mi'ila? There were gozer mi'ila v'atnan chatos mesos umos holchus liam melech lo nenin velo molin. But we learn that chatos mesos umos holchus liam melech, there's no, you're not allowed to get hana from it. There is an isur midrabanan to get hana from it, but it's not subject to meila. And the assumption is when we say it's not subject to meila, we mean it's not even subject to meila midrabanan. If it just meant lo molin midaraisa, we wouldn't have a kasha at all, because the whole meila that we're talking about is a meila midrabanan. So we're assuming lo moalin means that lo moalin even midrabanan. So a few things over here. First of all, the Bryce says that demei chatos, the value of chatos, of a carbon chatos that dies, is holchos liam melech. Right? We say chatos amesos umos holchos liam melech. So the Gemara is assuming that the demei chatos amesa goes liam melech, meaning since it's also about no, you're not allowed to use it, so you have to throw it into the yam melech, and by that and through that you destroy it. And the same would be true by all other mos hegdish that you're not allowed to use, that the halacha would be that you throw it liam melech, and that's not so strange. We find that through our chas. We find that by Yisurim of Vodazar, the Gemara in Vodazar, and Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis, and Daf Mem Tes, and Daf Mem Gimel, talks about taking Vodazar and being Molech Liyam HaMelech. Something you're not allowed to use, a very effective way of getting rid of it, is by being Molech Liyam HaMelech. However, the Pasha Pshat is, one would assume, that it's Lav Dafka, the Yam HaMelech per se, you throw it into any river and that's good enough. Like the Gemara in Yuma says about the Dmei Chata Shemesu Bala, or the Avodah Zarah, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, one would assume if you throw it into any Yam, that would be good enough. However, there is a Gemara in Mesechus Avodah Zarah, in Mem Gimel and Beis Mem Dalar Meral, for there's Machlokas Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yossi says, you could be shochik v'zorah l'ruach. Forget about throwing it in the yam. You could even grind it up and throw it into the wind. But the Chachamim say, no, the wind isn't good enough. You have to dafka throw it into the yam, because if you throw it into the ruach, ultimately it might just turn into zevel for a field, and it's going to help a field grow, and you get hanar from it, and therefore you need to dafka throw it into the yam. That's the shita of the Chachamim. So the Gemara in Maseches Psachim, and the Chav Chesam and Aleph, in the context of Chametz really, but the Gemara in Maseches Psachim, quotes a machlokas amoraim within the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. Again, Rabbi Yossi held that you don't have to throw it into the yam, you could be shochek vizorah l'ruach as well. So the Gemara Pesachim quotes machlokas Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef within the shita of Rabbi Yossi. What's that machlokas? So it's a machlokas Rishonim, how to understand that machlokas, but let's assume like the shita of Tosfos. The way to understand that machlokas is that Rabbah holds Avodah Zarah, that you're zorek to the Yam HaMelech, you don't need to grind up first. But if you throw it into any other river, you would need to be shochik, you would need to grind it up. Again, Rabbi Yossi is one that says, you could even be shochik and v'zora l'ruach. So the way Rabbah understands that is that if you're throwing it into the Yam HaMelech, you don't even need shchika. But if you're throwing it into the Ruach or to any other river, then you do need shchika. Then you do need to grind it up. So throwing it into any other river would have the same din as throwing it into the Ruach. But Rav Yosef holds that even when you throw it into the Yam HaMelech, you need shchika. Shochik v'zorah l'ruach is not just l'ruach, it's shochik wherever you're going to be zorik it. Wherever you're going to throw it, you need to be shochik, even into the Yam HaMelech. And when it comes to other passages of water, other rivers, shchika is not even going to help. So it comes out that according to Rav Yosef, you're not allowed to throw it into any other river, even when you do shchika. But it's mutter to be shochik v'zorik l'ruach. So it comes out funny. To be shochik and zorik l'yam ha-melech, good. Shochik v'zorik l'ruach, good. But shochik in any other river, no good. That's the way it would turn out, according to Rav Yosef's understanding of Shitas Rabbi Yossi. That's how Tosos and Maseches Avodah Zarah, at least on Daf Mem Gimel and Beis, understands the Machlokas. Tosos and Maseches Psachim and Daf Chav Ches writes that no, Rabbah and Rav Yosef have no argument regarding Avodah Zarah. Their moda that the Yam HaMelech, you're allowed to throw it in straight, that you don't need to be shochik. Even Rav Yosef would agree that when you throw it into the Yam HaMelech, you can throw it in Be'en. By other rivers, you need to be shochik. And the raya is from the fact that the Gemara says in many places about Avodah Zarah and Hekdish that you could throw it into the Yam HaMelech, and it never says anywhere that you need to be shochik to throw it into the Yam HaMelech. We also find in a lot of places that you don't need to throw dafka to the Yam HaMelech, you can throw it into any other river. So what you have to say is that everyone's moda that it's mutter to be zorik the Yam HaMelech, be'en, and the chiluk between the Yam HaMelech and other rivers is that you need shchika. The fact that the Gemara says in so many places just throw it into the Yam HaMelech never mentions shchika, and the fact that other places doesn't even mention Yam HaMelech implies that there's another option besides for Yam HaMelech. So why then do we distinguish between Yam HaMelech and other Yamim? It must be that Yam HaMelech does not require shchika. Other Yamim do require shchika. That's how Tosfos writes in Maseches Pesachim. More nogeya to our sugya. So the Gemara says the Chatosa Mesos and Mos Holchus Yam HaMelech is Lonen V'Lomolin. So the Mefarish over here, Rashi, or the Mefarish, however you want to call it, says Lonen in Midrabanan, because there's still, right, Midrabanan, they invented some sort of Isser Hana'a. And that's what Rashi writes in Maseches Tmura as well. So the Netziv in Merom Yisada on Maseches Nazir, in his commentary to Maseches Nazir, and Daf Chavdal Ramad Aleph, asks the following question. Why is it that Chatos HaMesos are not Asur Midaraisa? They're still Kadosh, and the Yisur Kedusha doesn't go away unless you do Zrikas Adam, like Rashi says in Kedushin, so it's still Kadosh. So why should it be Mutar Bahana Midaraisa, that the Yisur HaNaz only Midrabanan? And furthermore, if Chatos HaMesos are Dinam B'Misa, Halach L'Moshe Misinai, so Min HaRa'ui, it's appropriate that it should be just like a Sharon Iskol, that's Dinam B'Misa. And the Mechai chayim, it's asur b'ana min haTorah. So just like the shor niskal, while it's still alive, is asur b'ana midor raisa. So the chatos ha'meisa should also be asur b'ana min haTorah. So he says maybe you could say that Rashi holds like the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam that a shor niskal is not asur b'ana mechayim min haTorah. It's only asur b'ana lachar misa. That's the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam quoted in Tosfos in Masechah Sanhedrin and Daf Ayin Tes. Maybe you could say Rashi holds that way, but the Tziv says that from Rashi later on Dav Yud Amud Beis, it's going to be mashma that there is an issur to get hana from Chatos HaMesos min haTorah. And when the Brisa says lo nenin, which implies that it's only an issur midrabanan, that's in regards to the chiyuv tashlumin, that even though there's an issur midah oraisa to get hana from it, but nevertheless there's no din tashlumin like you would have by mi'ila, where you have to pay back the keren plus the chomesh. So hanene, someone who gets hana and violates this issur d'oraisa, is not chayiv b'tashlumin. Midrabanan, they were misakin, they have to pay back with the hana'ah that you got, the keren. So even though the mefarish over here says lo nenin midrabanan implies that the whole isra hana'ah to begin with is only midrabanan, Netziv again explains that from Rashi later on, the implication is that no, the isra hana'ah is midoraisa, which the Netziv thinks makes a lot of sense. The isra hana'ah should be midoraisa. Why shouldn't it be an isra hana'ah midoraisa? It should be just like a Shara Niskal, which is destined for Misa, and the Yisra Na'ah is Midar Raisa. So it makes sense that the Yisra Na'ah should be Midar Raisa. It's just that the Chiv Tashlumin maybe is only Midar Rabbanan. Okay, anyway, back in the Gemara. So the Gemara again was asking, we're in the middle of a question, that how can you say Chatos Shemesa has Mi'ila, but didn't we learn that Chatos HaMesos and Mosel Chusiyam HaMelech, there's no, you're not allowed to get Hana Midrabanan, but there's also no Mi'ila, even Midrabanan. So Amri Chatos HaMesos B'chayehon B'dilun Minhun. La'afuke Hecha D'michayim Lo B'dilun Minay. Now Chatos HaMesos is different, because Chatos HaMesos, even while they're alive, people stay away from them. So that's why by the Chatos HaMesos, there's no need to create a mi'ila even midrabanan. But things that mechayim people are not bedilamine, that people don't even stay away from when they're alive. So then there needs to be a mi'ila midrabanan. So says Gemara Vayta, period. Now new issue. We had a machlokas yesterday. We had a machlokas on the top of Bezum and Bez. What if you have all of these items that we spoke about in the Mishnah? You have the kachik kachim that you shechted b'darom and were mekabel dam b'tzafon or vice versa. All of these things that created a problem. So the Gemara raised the question, what if you bring them up on the Mizbeach? So ma'u sheyerdu, what's the halacha? Do you have to bring them back down from the Mizbeach? So Rabbah held im olu yerdu. Yeah, if they went up on the Mizbeach, they got to come down. They don't belong on top of the Mizbeach, take them down. Rav Yosef said, nah, leave them there. Once they're there already, they have enough kedusha, you can leave them there. So now, back to that machlokas. Eisvei Rav Yosef l'Rabba. Rav Yosef asked on Rabba, how could you, Rabba, say, im olu yerdu, I'll prove to you that they don't come down. How? So chadamigo chada v'chadamigo chada. The format of his question is he derives, he makes a diuk on one Mishnah from another Mishnah, and then from that Mishnah to another Mishnah. So it's layered. His argument is going to involve several layers. So it starts with the following. V'chulanein metamin begadim habeis habliya. All of these things are not metame begadim habeis habliya. What are all of these things? What are we talking about? We say all of these things. So the context of there is we talk about a chatas ha'of that you treat like an olas ha'of, or an olas ha'of that you treat like a chatas ha'of. Meaning all of these things where you change the place where you do the malika, you change the sprinkling, you do something off, something wrong with the malika of a chatas ha'of or of an olas ha'of. So all of these things are not metame begadim habeis habliya. Nevelas of tahar is metame begadim habeis habliya. That's the rule of nevelas of tahar. That it's that when you eat nevelas of tahar, so your clothing become tame as a result of the eating of the nevelas of tahar. That's the general rule by nevela. But these items where you messed something up in the process, they're not metame begadim habeis habliya. Umoalin behen, but you do violate meila. Chutz mechatas of shasa lemata kemaisa chatas of l'shem chatas, as except for a chatas of that you do lemata, which is how a chatas of the sprinkling of the blood of chatas of is supposed to be, where you do it l'shem chatas, where you do everything right. So by in that case, it's not going to be subject to meila because it's nas mitzvaso. So the meila is done on it. V'katani ilaveh, and we learned about that. Kol shayapsula b'kodesh. Eino matami begadim ebeis habliya. Anytime you have psula bekodesh, the psul happened bekodesh, so then it's not going to be matami begadim ebeis habliya. V'kol shaloi psula bekodesh, matami begadim ebeis habliya. And whenever it's not psula bekodesh, it is matami begadim ebeis habliya. The exact definition of the term psula bekodesh is itself a machlokas rishonim. Rashi writes in Maseches Vachim, psula bekodesh means the korban came into the azara while still kosher, and then became nifsal in the Azara. So we're saying if the psul happened in the Azara, in the Kodesh, it's not going to be Metame Begadim Abeis Habliya. But Tosfos over there in Maseches Zvachim questions this Rashi. Zvachim Daf Samaches, Tosfos questions over there. It would turn out then that a Roveya or a Nirva, that our Rava Venirva Ba'azara would not be possible, because it only became possible after it got to the Azara. So and also Shechitas Darom, according to Rabbah, even Rabbi Shimon is Moda, Shim Alateirid. Right? If you Shechta B'Darom, according to Rabbah, everyone's Moda, even Rabbi Shimon would hold Im Alateirid. But that's not Psula B'Kodesh, because it only came, even though it came after the Karban. Meaning, so you see that it's not called psula b'kodesh, because we say im ala teired, and nevertheless the psul only happened after it came into the azara. So and the shittim gretzas even adds more that we find by malika b'sakin. The Mishnah in Zvachim says if you're molik b'sakin, if you do malika with a knife instead of with the fingernail, so it's metame beis habliya. But so you see that it's not considered psula b'kodesh, even though the psul actually happened in the azara. So you see from all these sources that it doesn't seem that psula b'kodesh is about the makom per se, that the psul is dafka in the azara. So the Brisker Rav explains that when Rashi says psul b'kodesh, it means a psul that's in the azara. It means dafka, like pigul, yotze, laila, these types of things, these types of psul that are shayich because of the azara. But a psul of roveya, a psul of nirva, even if it's in the azara, it's not a psul that comes as a result of the azara, because that psul could happen anywhere. That would be a psul anywhere. But Tosa says no, psul b'kodesh means a psul that happens to the korban after it's niskadish b'kli shareis, meaning after shechita. That's what psul b'kodesh means. Tos also says maybe it means okay. Tos gives another answer as well, another explanation as well. But just you see, the very definition of the term of psul b'kodesh is subject to debate over here. But either way, our key over here is that says the Gemara v'katani kol shei psul b'kodesh im alul yardu, that when it's psul b'kodesh, when it goes up, it's lo yered. So tiyufta deraba tiyufta included in psul b'kodesh where im alul lo yardu, and is going to be case where you shechted bedarum, you have kachet kachem that should have been shechted b'tzafon, and you shechted bedarum. That's an example of psula b'kodesh, and yet Rabba said in that case imalu yardu. But over here we said kol shel psula b'kodesh imalu lo yardu. So this is Rav Yosef kasha on Rabba. Again, going back to that machlokas on the top of beis on beis. Says Gemara tiyufta deraba tiyufta. Yep, bam kasha. He got him. That seems to be a very strong rejection of Rabba. Period. Now, even though we have a machlokas, Rabbah and Rav Yosef, whether it's yered or not, if you took this animal and took this carbon and brought it on the Mizbeach, Rabbi Lazar, for whatever reason, thought clearly one side was correct, and he didn't even think it was a shayla. He didn't even address it as if it were a shayla. Meaning, he went into asking a shayla, working with an assumption like one side or the other. Thing is, we don't know which side he was assuming like. We just know that he was definitely working with an assumption like one side or the other. How so? Dam Reb Lazar. Reb Lazar says as follows. Olas bamas yachid, shechnisa lefnim. There's something called a bama. It used to be bamas were at times mutter, and at times, most of the time, aser. That is an iser to be makrivan a bama. During the times where we had a mizbeach in the Mishkan Shiloh, or a time where we had a mizbeach in the Mikdash, so there's a definite iser bamas. But at other times, no vegivon, there were other times where we had a heter bamas. Now, even when we had a heter bamas, there are two types of bamas. There's a bamas yachid and a bamas tzibur. Bamas tzibur has a lot of the requirements and the details that you would need by the mizbeach. It needed kranos hamizbeach, the bamos. You needed to be makbid on the location, the tzaf on the darum. There were a lot of the requirements that you would have. You need kohanim with big dekuna. There were a lot of requirements by bamos tzibur that you wouldn't have by bamos yachid. Bamos yachid is in your backyard. You go and you bring a karban. So let's say you have olas bamos yachid, an ola that was intended for a bamos yachid, sheikh nisa lefnim, that was brought in the vicinity vicinity of the Bamas Tzibur. So now, does it have to live by or die by the requirements of a Bamas Tzibur, or can you keep it with the rules of a Bamas Yachid? So Kultua Mechitzos the Kol Davar. So the Mechitzos are collated, the Mechitzos of the Azara are collated the Kol Davar, meaning it's as if it was Huktash Mechila to be brought on the Mizbeach, and therefore has all the requirements of Tzafa and all the other things that you need. So by Rabbi Lazar asked the following thing. Olas Bamas Yachid Sheikh Nisa Shenifsala. What if you have a case of an Olas Bamas Yachid that became Pasul, so Alu Mau Sheyardu. So and then it went, it was an Olas Bamas Yachid that was Kaltua Mechitzo, so it didn't have the original Kedusha of a Bamas Sibur. It was an Olas Bamas Yachid that only had these requirements because it came into the vicinity of the Bamas Sibur, and now it became Pasul, but you brought it up on the Mizbech, you brought it up on the Bamas. So what's the Halacha? Do you bring it down? So the fact that he just asked that Shaila shows us that he's only bothered in that case. Meaning that if it were just a standard case of a carbon that was shechted, kachi kachim, that was shechted bidarum instead of bitzafon, and you brought it up on the Mizbeach, apparently that wasn't exciting enough for him. That he didn't think was a kasha. It was only going to be a question in a case where you have an Olas Babas Yachid that came into the Tzibur and then was Nifsal. That all of a sudden became a Shaila. So sounds like the more standard case, the more pashut case, was obvious to him. Obvious which way? We don't know. One way or the other. It was obvious either like Rabba or like Rav Yosef, but it was obvious one way or the other. So he only asked with this more detailed, elaborate issue that he raised the shayla. So how could it be a shayla whichever way you hold? Meaning, it sounds like we're saying that this shayla of Reb Lazar would be a shayla if he holds like Rabba, and it would be a shayla if he holds like Rav Yosef. Meaning, in a standard case of kachi kachim that is shachtu bedarum, where Rabba says imolu yardu, so it could be that Reb Lazar held yeah imolu yardu, and I still have a shayla about my case, or it could be he holds. And I still have a shayla about my case. So how would that shayla develop within each side? So the Gemara spells it out. Ad kan lo kama Rabba hasam malu yardu. Rabba would only say that if it's ola on the mizbeach, you need to be morated from the mizbeach because mechitza ketikna pasla, shalo ketikna lo pasla. Maybe mechitza ketikna pasels, but mechitza shalo ketikna doesn't pasel. Meaning the point is that in the case of the regular carbon that was supposed to be brought in the Azara by the Mizbeach and was brought into the Azara by the Mizbeach, maybe that's where Rabba's going to say im ala yardu, because then the psul happened in after it had it after everything was going right, after everything was going in the proper way. So that's where we're going to say im ala yardu. But when it's mechitza shalo ketikna, where it wasn't this whole its whole kedusha was sort of by accident. So maybe in that case im ala lo yardu, meaning the fact that we allowed it on the mizbeach in the first place is a chiddush. So we'll go even further and let it stay on the mizbeach. Odilma, meaning it already wasn't perfect, and yet we still were going to say it was going to go on the mizbeach. Mm-hmm. So let's put it this way: the requirement of tzafon and all the details are not as strong by the case where it was something that really belonged on a bamas yachid, because that wasn't initially what it needed. It's only because it came in the vicinity. So maybe the fact that you didn't follow all of those requirements don't ruin it as badly as a karban like in our mishnah of normal cut. That was always destined to have those requirements where you didn't follow those requirements. Oh, Dilmore, maybe you could say the other way. That Afil Rav Yosef Darmer am also lo tered. Even Rav Yosef who says am also lo tered by a case of normal kachay kachim that you shecht bidarom, mechitza ketikna kolta, shalo ketikna lo kolta. Maybe that's the point. Maybe when everything was, when it belonged in the Azara. So maybe the fact that, and it belonged initially on the Mizbeach, so maybe it has a stronger level of kedusha, and that's why I'm alaloterid. But in something that initially didn't even belong here, initially it was supposed to be
on the Bamas Yachid, and it's a chiddush to even say that we were gonna put it on the Bamas Tzibur to begin with. So maybe in such a case, it doesn't have that level of kedusha, and therefore even Rav Yosef would say teirid in this case. So that was Rav Loza's shaila teiku. So the shaila itself is unanswered, but we do see from the fact that he phrases his shaila about such a case of something that was originally destined for a Bamas Yachid. So you do see that he does make an assumption in the machlokas between Rabbi and Rav Yosef. Again, we don't know which way he makes the assumption, but he certainly makes some sort of assumption in that machlokas. Okay, next part of the Gemara. Amrav Gidol Amrav. Zrikas pigul einu motzi midei mi'ila b'kotche kotchim ve'einu mevi midei mi'ila b'kotchim kalim. As we mentioned yesterday, zrika is a very critical stage in the world of Mi'ila. Normally, when it comes to Kache Kachim, that's where the Mi'ila, Zrika is where the Mi'ila ends. Because once you did Zrika, it's Nasas Mitzvaso, so now it's no longer subject to Mi'ila. When it comes to Kachim Kalim, though, Zrika is what's Mechayiv, the Haktaras Emurim on the Mizbeach. Zrika is what creates the Chiyiv of Haktaras Emurim on the Mizbeach. So by doing the Zrika, that's what brings it into Mi'ila. The Basar of Kachim Kalim is not going to be subject to Mila anyway because it's destined to be eaten, right? So it would only be on the Emurim to begin with. So the Zrika is what brings the Emurim into the Chiyuv. So what if you have a Zrikas Pigel, meaning you have a Machshava of Chutz L'Zmano during this Zrika? So is that Zrika going to be effective to do what Zrika does in the world of Mi'ila, to either bring it into the world of Mi'ila for Kachim Kalim or to take it out of the world of Mi'ila for Kachi Kachim? So says Rav Gidol Amarav, Zrika's Pigel does not do what Zrika normally does because it's not a proper Zrika. So Yasva Abayi v'kamer lo l'shmeita. So Abayi was saying this over. Eisvei Rav Papa l'Abayi. So Rav Papa asked an Abayi, Hashochet es hatoda lefnim. V'lach mechutz l'choma lo kidesh es halechem. We know that the carbon toda, it's an animal that you're makriv, but along with the carbon toda comes 40 lachme toda. 30 of the lachme toda happen to be matzah. 10 of them are chametz, and as we mentioned, that's why carbon toda is not brought at all on Pesach, because it involves chametz. That's why we don't say mizmor l'soda throughout Pesach, and we don't even say mizmor l'soda on Erev Pesach, because you can't even bring carbon toda on Erev Pesach, because you're not allowed to bring chametz, because you're not allowed to bring kachim in the base of psul. You're not allowed to minimize the time that you're allowed to eat kachim, and the carbon lachme toda have to be eaten that day and that night. But on Erev Pesach, you're minimizing the time that you'd be able to eat it, because obviously you wouldn't be able to eat it after Chatzos Hayom, or even before Chatzos Hayom on Erev Pesach, because it's Chametz. But there are these Lachmei Toda. So when do the Lachmei Toda get their Kedusha? How did the Lachmei Toda become Kadosh? So it's during the Shechita of the actual Karban Toda that the Lachmei Toda rise to their level of Kedusha. So Rav Papa asks Abayi the following. It says, if you shech the Karban Toda lefnim, and the Lechem happens to be Chutz Lechoma, so the Lechem does not get Kedusha, because the Lechem is in the wrong place. The Lechem is Chutz Lechoma, so it's not going to be Kidesh Lechem. It has to be, the Pasuk says, Al Zevach HaToda Chalos, you need Al Besamuch, that the Chalos have to be near the Zevach, near the Karban. They're Chutz Lechoma, they aren't near the Karban. Shachta Ad Shlo Karmu Paneha B'Tanur, let's say you shech the animal, and it's not that the Lachmei Toda are in the wrong place, that the Lachmei Toda don't really fully exist yet. They're still baking in the oven, and they haven't even crusted over. The tops of the Lachmei Toda haven't even crusted over yet. V'afilu karmu kulon chutz me'achas me'en, and even if 39 out of the 40 of them already have a crusted edge, but one of them doesn't, lo kidei shalechem, then it's not going to be kadosh, because again, you need all of the lechem to be ra'ui at the shas zvicha. It has to be al hazevach, not only means besamach lezevach, it needs all the lachmei toda need to be ra'ui for use already at the shas zvicha. Shachta chutz lezmana v'chutz l'makoma kidesh alechem. But what if you shech the karban toda having a machshava? Whenever we say chutz lezmana, it usually means a machsheves chutz lezmana, having a machshava of eating it chutz lezmana, or a machshava of chutz l'makoma, so then it is kidesh alechem. So then the shechita of the karban toda, even though it was a shechitas pigol, is enough to be makdish the lachmei toda. So says Gemara, Alma, pigol, maisi, lalidei mi'ila. So it seems that pigel, if pigel is enough, if machshev is pigel during an avoda that normally grants kedusha to something, is enough to give kedusha to the lachmei toda. So why should a zrika of pigel, a zrika where you're having machshev is pigel, not affect meila, not be mevi lidei meila for kachim kalim? It's the same idea. It's that you're doing a maisa that it's inherently flawed because it has an inherent pigel intention in the maisa that you're doing, and yet by the lachmei toda it's enough to grant kedusha to the lachmei toda. So why shouldn't a zrika pigel be enough to grant kedusha to the kachim kalim, in the sense that the emurim are now going to be subject to meila? So that was the kasher of Papa asked Abaye. So Ishtik, he didn't respond. So the Gemara is going to suggest different responses that maybe he could have said. Maybe that would have made sense. So Kiyasol Kameid Rabbi Abba Amarlei Bizrika. So when he came to Rabbi Abba, he said, no, that's by Zrika. So it's a one-word answer, very hard to understand what in the world that means. What we do know is that the case of the Lachmei Toda, we spoke about where you shechted the Lachmei Toda, you shechted the Karban Toda, and that was Makdish, the Lachmei Toda. Whereas our case we spoke about, Rav Gidol Amrav spoke about Zrikas Pigel. So there's maybe some chilik between Zrika versus Shechita. How so? So Tosos fills us in a little bit. Amalei Bezrika, again, Tosos works as a mefaresh in Maseches Meila. It's not deep analysis, just explaining what's going on in the Gemara. So Amalei Bezrika, Kolomar Eina Pigel Nikva Ad Shazrika, the Amar Kartzas Kasher Kachartzas Pasul, the boy Karvo Matirin. He says you have to realize when it comes to pigle, whether a machsheves pigle is actually going to make the carbon pigle is not yet determined until the zrika. Let's say you shecht with the machsheves pigle, is that going to make the carbon pigle? It might if Karav Hamatir Kmitzvaso. Part of pigle is everything else has to be done properly. If you do everything else right, then it'll be a goy milsel mafreya. Then at the time of the shechita with your machsheves pigle, it made it pigle. But if you don't do everything else right, then the machshavas pigel at the time of shechita didn't mean anything. So a shechitas pigel in and of itself is worthless, meaning it's not necessarily a shechitas pigel. A zrikas pigel, it's the last step in the process. So a zrikas pigel, you know you already were karav amatir k'mitzvah, that you did everything else properly. So a zrikas pigel has a little more meaning to it. So hilchah gabe lechem k'dik shenikram have kadosh amin k'dish alechem. Avo gabe mi'ilu d'b'sha shechita adayin lo nikva pigel, Zrika Maisi Lide Miila, Vaaz Nikva Pigle Shachash Bishash Shita, Enu Mevi Lide Miila. So Machshava Bishash Shita is not going to be Mevi Lide Miila. Machshava Bishash Zrika will be Mevi Lide Miila, because that's a more definitive statement of Pigle when you, or Machshava of Pigle when you have a Machshava of Pigle Bishash Zrika. Okay, Bezhom, we'll continue with the other answer, the next answer tomorrow.